Introduction. Scientific rigor forms the foundation of credible clinical interventions, particularly in the fields of biofeedback and neurofeedback. These modalities depend on quantifiable physiological outcomes, making their scientific validation imperative. This lecture will detail the continuum from basic laboratory science to clinical practice, emphasizing research design, statistical methodology, and ethical publication. It explains the contrast between basic and clinical research, the hierarchy of experimental rigor, and the implications of statistical decision-making in evaluating treatment outcomes. Further, it will elaborate on definitions of reliability and validity, illustrate how meta-analysis synthesizes research, and underscore the need for standardized and transparent reporting. Finally, the lecture critically assesses how biofeedback and neurofeedback align with criteria used to judge clinical efficacy in conventional medicine, offering a framework for continuous reevaluation and evidence-based practice. By exploring each component in depth, this lecture aims to equip researchers, clinicians, and students with the conceptual and procedural tools to design and interpret biofeedback and neurofeedback research with a high degree of scientific integrity.
Research.
Research ensures that biofeedback and neurofeedback methods rest on a solid empirical foundation. Scientific investigations differentiate effective interventions from those driven by anecdote or placebo. Peer-reviewed randomized controlled trials, RCTs, and systematic meta-analyses serve as gold standards for evaluating treatment efficacy, offering reproducible and generalizable conclusions. When practitioners bypass empirical scrutiny, the entire field risks being viewed as unscientific or pseudoscientific. This undermines provider credibility, deters professional referrals, reduces access to reimbursement, and erodes public trust. While large-scale RCTs are often resource-intensive, clinicians can still contribute to the field by publishing well-documented case studies and observational reports. These descriptive contributions generate hypotheses and inspire rigorous confirmatory trials. The evidence-based practice in biofeedback and neurofeedback series curates and evaluates such findings, assigning conservative efficacy ratings that guide reimbursement, clinical decision-making, and professional training. Sustained research output also enables the development of new protocols, validation of instrumentation, and refinement of treatment targets. Engagement with research is not only a professional responsibility but a strategic imperative to maintain the field's legitimacy in a rapidly evolving healthcare landscape.
IQCB Blueprint Coverage.
The International Certification Board of Clinical Neurofeedback and Biofeedback, IQCB, outlines a comprehensive blueprint for certifying practitioner competency in research literacy and application. This includes a deep understanding of experimental design, statistical interpretation, and evidence-based protocol development. By mastering these domains, clinicians can differentiate scientifically valid interventions from untested procedures. IQCB's learning objectives cover theoretical distinctions, such as the difference between exploratory and confirmatory studies, as well as practical topics like randomization procedures and appropriate control conditions. The emphasis on critical appraisal skills prepares clinicians to evaluate peer-reviewed literature and adapt evidence-based methods to client-specific needs. Understanding statistical power, internal validity, and effect size empowers practitioners to make scientifically defensible claims about treatment efficacy. The blueprint reinforces professional accountability and ensures that certified individuals operate at the intersection of science and ethical care. It also ensures alignment with standards recognized across healthcare disciplines and accrediting agencies. Mastery of this framework allows clinicians not only to interpret research but also to design studies that contribute to the field's empirical foundation.
Basic versus clinical research.
Basic research, often conducted in laboratory settings, seeks to understand fundamental physiological and psychological mechanisms without an immediate goal of treating patients. It explores underlying processes like neural oscillations, autonomic regulation, or behavioral conditioning. For example, studies examining the role of the prefrontal cortex in impulse control inform eventual interventions for ADHD.
Methodologically, basic research utilizes tightly controlled environments, animal models, and often small homogeneous samples to isolate specific variables. It provides the theoretical scaffolding for the design of new clinical approaches. Clinical research, by contrast, focuses on the application of scientific knowledge to improve health outcomes, test treatment efficacy, or refine diagnostic procedures. This includes testing the effects of a new NF protocol on PTSD symptoms in combat veterans. Clinical trials typically involve larger, heterogeneous populations and face constraints such as recruitment, dropout, and ethical oversight. Despite these challenges, clinical research remains the most direct means of translating basic findings into real-world interventions. Basic and clinical research exist on a continuum, with translational research serving as a bridge between the two. By informing each other, they promote innovation while maintaining empirical rigor and safety. Experimental design. Experimental design involves manipulating an independent variable, FOR, to observe changes in a dependent variable, DV, while controlling extraneous variables, EVs. A well-constructed experiment isolates the causal effect of the FOR on the DV, for example, testing whether slow cortical potential NF reduces seizure frequency. Internal validity is established through random assignment, control conditions, and standardized procedures. Threats to internal validity, such as maturation or instrumentation effects, are addressed through counterbalancing, blinding, and reliable measurement. External validity, or generalizability, is attained through random sampling and representative participant selection. Quasi-experimental and correlational designs provide important insights when randomization is impractical, but they preclude causal conclusions. Designs like Abelbauer reversal and multiple baseline protocols offer methodological rigor while accommodating ethical constraints in clinical practice. Practitioners must also distinguish specific from nonspecific effects, the latter being attributed to placebo or demand characteristics, emphasizing the need for credible control conditions like non-contingent feedback or active comparators. Researchers must also choose appropriate control conditions tailored to the physiological system of interest and minimize expectancy and learning biases. A poorly chosen control condition can invalidate findings by introducing confounding variables or by failing to match participant engagement across groups. Comprehensive training in these principles is essential for interpreting both supportive and critical findings in the biofeedback and neurofeedback literature. Basic statistics and differences between parametric versus non-parametric statistics. Descriptive statistics summarize raw data to reveal central tendencies and variability. Measures such as the mean, median, and mode describe typical values, while the range, variance, and standard deviation quantify data spread. These descriptors help identify outliers and assess whether data approximates a normal distribution, which is a prerequisite for many inferential tests. Inferential statistics test hypotheses and estimate population parameters based on sample data. Parametric tests such as t-tests and ANOVAs require assumptions like normality, homoscedasticity, and interval-level measurement. When these conditions are met, they offer strong statistical power. Nonparametric tests like the Mann-Whitney-U and Kruskal-Wallis-H are more flexible but less sensitive, suitable for skewed distributions or ordinal data. Statistical significance, indicated by p-values, informs whether an observed effect is unlikely due to chance. However, significance alone is insufficient. Effect size metrics like Cohen's d or r-squared provide clinically relevant information on the magnitude of effects. Understanding these concepts is vital for interpreting and communicating the relevance of biofeedback and neurofeedback treatment outcomes. Researchers should also consider confidence intervals, which indicate the precision of an estimate and reflect sample variability. Sophisticated statistical models, such as mixed effects regression, are increasingly used to accommodate nested designs and repeated measures. Familiarity with these tools allows practitioners to analyze session-by-session progress, assess within-subject variability, and evaluate cross-session learning effects. Without a solid grounding in statistical reasoning, clinicians risk drawing premature or erroneous conclusions from their data. Definitions of types of validation and reliability. Validity and reliability determine whether a measurement is both accurate and consistent. Content validity ensures that a measure comprehensively covers all aspects of a construct, such as a depression inventory assessing mood, cognition, and somatic symptoms. Criterion validity assesses alignment with established external indicators, encompassing concurrent and predictive forms. For instance, a heart rate variability index that correlates with cardiovascular fitness demonstrates concurrent criterion validity. Construct validity evaluates the theoretical fidelity of a test, often through convergent and divergent validity. A valid measure must demonstrate meaningful associations with related constructs and minimal overlap with unrelated domains. Reliability refers to a measure's consistency across time, test retest, raters, inter-rater, or internal items, internal consistency. Kronbacher's alpha quantifies the coherence of multi-item scales. High reliability is a prerequisite for validity. An unreliable test cannot be valid. Together, these indices underpin confidence in research conclusions and are essential for interpreting changes in psychophysiological outcomes in clinical and performance contexts. Reliability must be established before results can be interpreted confidently, especially in protocols requiring repeated assessments. For example, assessing brainwave amplitudes across multiple NF sessions requires consistency in electrode placement and signal calibration. Instruments must also be validated for specific populations. A scale normed on adolescents may not yield valid results in older adults. Comprehensive validation involves multiple studies across populations and contexts to ensure generalizability. Only with high reliability and validity can biofeedback and neurofeedback outcomes be interpreted as true reflections of physiological or psychological change. Meta-analysis. Meta-analysis aggregates data from multiple studies that share methodological features, allowing researchers to calculate an overall effect size. This synthesis enhances statistical power and offers a more precise estimate of treatment effects. By analyzing variants across studies, meta-analyses can identify moderators such as age, condition severity, or intervention length that influence efficacy. Common metrics include R-squared for variance explained and Cohen's d for standardized mean differences. Strengths of meta-analysis include the ability to reconcile contradictory findings, increase confidence in results, and guide practice recommendations. However, publication bias can skew results by omitting null findings, known as the file drawer effect. The validity of a meta-analysis depends on the quality of its component studies. Weak studies can dilute true effects. Heterogeneity among studies may limit the generalizability of pooled findings. Unlike systematic reviews, which summarize evidence qualitatively, meta-analyses offer quantitative estimates that are vital for guideline development and insurance coverage decisions. Meta-analysis thus represents an indispensable tool in evidence-based clinical practice. Moreover, meta-analytic techniques can be extended to network meta-analyses, allowing indirect comparisons between multiple interventions even when lacking head-to-head trials. Sensitivity analyses and subgroup comparisons further refine the understanding of which patients benefit most under what conditions. Meta-analysis provides a framework not only for summarizing existing literature but also for directing future research by identifying gaps, inconsistencies, and emerging areas of promise. Its utility in translating research into practice makes it essential for clinical decision-makers and policy developers alike. Reporting results and publication standards. Scientific transparency and reproducibility depend on clear and comprehensive reporting. Guidelines such as CONSORT for trials and STROBE for observational studies standardize methodological descriptions and result disclosures. Proper reporting includes specifying sampling procedures, randomization methods, statistical analyses, and confidence intervals. Statistical reporting must go beyond p-values to include effect sizes and power estimates. Open science practices, such as data repositories and pre-registration of protocols, promote transparency and facilitate replication. Ethical research reporting requires disclosing funding sources, potential conflicts of interest, and institutional review board approvals. The peer review process adds a layer of scrutiny, though it must be complemented by researcher integrity. Avoiding questionable research practices like selective reporting or p-hacking preserves the trustworthiness of published findings. Promoting transparency and adherence to established guidelines ensures that the medical and scientific communities take biofeedback and neurofeedback research seriously. These practices are not optional but essential for maintaining public trust and scientific legitimacy. Moreover, enhanced reproducibility allows clinicians to evaluate whether an intervention is appropriate for their specific client population. Transparent reporting can accelerate knowledge transfer across clinics, reduce duplication of effort, and improve cost-effectiveness in healthcare delivery. Journals are increasingly adopting stringent reporting checklists and requiring data availability statements, aligning with broader initiatives in open science. Ethical and accurate publication is both a scientific responsibility and a practical necessity for clinical translation and regulatory approval. The clinical efficacy of established medical practices. Retrospective analyses of long-standing medical practices reveal that a substantial proportion are ineffective or harmful when subjected to rigorous testing. An evaluation of over 350 studies in a leading medical journal found that more than 40% of common interventions lacked efficacy or posed harm. These findings challenge assumptions of clinical infallibility and underscore the need for continual reevaluation. High-profile reversals, such as withdrawing hormone replacement therapy for postmenopausal women, highlight how accepted interventions can fail under closer scrutiny. This reinforces the necessity of using experimental designs with high internal validity before institutionalizing new practices. Failure to replicate findings or account for confounding variables can perpetuate ineffective treatments. The lessons for biofeedback and neurofeedback are clear. Efficacy must be established through systematic, peer-reviewed evidence before protocols become standard practice. Scientific humility, ongoing reassessment, and transparency must define any field that aspires to clinical legitimacy. Biofeedback and neurofeedback practitioners must also be cautious of prematurely promoting interventions without adequate evidence, especially when financial interests or marketing pressures are involved. Embracing rigorous evaluation not only protects clients but also elevates the profession by aligning it with broader standards of healthcare accountability. Criteria for clinical efficacy. Level 5 represents the gold standard in clinical efficacy for biofeedback and neurofeedback interventions. Treatments at this level are supported by multiple independent randomized controlled trials, RCTs, conducted by different research teams. These studies must include well-defined clinical populations, robust sample sizes, rigorous control conditions, and consistent operational definitions of treatment and outcome measures. Furthermore, they require replication across settings and populations to demonstrate generalizability. The results must show statistically significant and clinically meaningful improvements that persist at follow-up. This level of evidence ensures that observed effects are not due to placebo, demand characteristics, or methodological artifacts. Level 5 treatments are widely recognized as evidence-based by third-party payers, regulatory agencies, and professional organizations. They form the foundation for clinical guidelines and training curricula and represent the most reliable protocols available for clinical implementation. Level 4 treatments are supported by at least one well-designed RCT and corroborated by additional supporting studies, which may include quasi-experimental designs or pre-post trials. While these studies might not all meet the highest standard of methodological rigor, their convergence lends credence to the intervention's efficacy. For example, a Level 4 treatment may show consistent benefits across various settings or subpopulations even if the replication studies vary in quality. This level suggests that the treatment has broad applicability, although further research is needed to confirm its effects and understand the mechanisms of change. Level 4 interventions are often used in clinical settings where higher-tier options are not available or practical. Practitioners using these methods should carefully monitor outcomes and remain aware of the evolving evidence base. Inclusion in Level 4 implies a commitment to empirical validation and continuous improvement. Level 3 designates treatments supported by controlled studies that have significant methodological limitations. These studies may include small sample sizes, inadequate blinding, poorly matched control groups, or short-term outcome assessments. Although such findings are preliminary, they are not without value. Level 3 evidence signals emerging support that warrants further exploration. Practitioners may consider using Level 3 interventions in cases where conventional treatments have failed, but they should do so with informed consent and careful outcome tracking. These treatments should not be promoted as evidence-based until more rigorous support is obtained. Level 3 is often a transitional stage on the path to higher levels of evidence, particularly for novel protocols that are in early phases of development or implementation. Level 2 treatments are based primarily on observational studies, including uncontrolled case series or single-group pre-post comparisons. These designs do not rule out alternative explanations for observed changes, such as maturation, placebo effects, or regression to the mean. Nonetheless, they can provide valuable insights, especially when paired with detailed case documentation, standardized outcome measures, and consistent training procedures. Level 2 interventions may serve as adjuncts to higher efficacy treatments or experimental options in research-oriented clinical practices. Practitioners using Level 2 protocols must explicitly communicate their investigational nature and ensure that clients understand the limitations of the supporting evidence. These studies also play a critical role in hypothesis generation and protocol refinement. While they do not suffice for widespread clinical adoption, they contribute meaningfully to the early stages of evidence accumulation. Level 1 represents the lowest tier of clinical evidence and includes anecdotal reports, uncontrolled case studies, and testimonials. Such reports are often based on personal observations or client feedback without standardized measurement, control groups, or replication. These accounts may reflect genuine therapeutic gains, but they are also highly susceptible to bias, expectancy effects, and uncontrolled variables. While Level 1 interventions can inspire research questions and innovation, they should never be substituted for empirically validated treatments. Practitioners relying on Level 1 evidence must exercise extreme caution and ensure full transparency with clients regarding the speculative nature of the approach. These interventions may have value in exploratory or last resort contexts but require substantial follow-up research to move up the efficacy hierarchy. Level 1 is the origin point from which promising new treatments may eventually rise if subjected to rigorous scientific scrutiny. Conclusion. This expanded lecture has traced the scientific framework that undergirds the credibility of biofeedback and neurofeedback, from theoretical underpinnings to the stringent criteria required for evidence-based validation. It emphasized the distinctions between research types, experimental rigor, and statistical interpretation, while grounding these principles in real-world clinical applications. Meta-analyses and standardized reporting protocols were shown to be indispensable in consolidating knowledge and promoting transparency. A critical examination of medical reversals emphasized the need for humility and ongoing reassessment in all clinical disciplines. The efficacy classification system offers a structured path from anecdote to empirical acceptance, reinforcing the importance of methodological rigor and replication. In sum, science must be the foundation upon which biofeedback and neurofeedback practitioners build their methods, communicate with stakeholders, and justify treatment decisions. The field can only achieve enduring credibility and serve clients with integrity through rigorous adherence to these standards. Integrating these practices is a benchmark of professional excellence and a prerequisite for earning and retaining public and institutional trust in applied psychophysiology.